Let's read from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 8 to 10. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." He said, "Go and tell this people, be ever hearing but never understanding, be ever seeing but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people calloused, make their ears dull and close their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed." The second reading is from Mark chapter 4. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd had gathered around him and was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell on the path and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, but the soil was shallow. When the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other fell on good soil. It came up, grew and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times." Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He said, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they may turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they only last a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things comes in and chokes the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown." He said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever doesn't have, even what they have will be taken from them." He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come." Again, he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds in the earth, yet when planted it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He didn't say anything without using a parable. But when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything to them.
Thanks, Soz, and good morning, everyone. My name's Mark. If we haven't met, it's great to be with you all this morning. Soz and Brian have shared a little bit about their gardening experience, so I thought I might be a little bit self-indulgent and share about ours as well. We've recently begun growing a veggie patch in our garden at home, and I want to share three things I've learnt about gardening so far from it. So lesson one is just because you plant something doesn't mean it will grow. Pretty self-explanatory. Lesson two, the harvest is really exciting. The joy of watching a four-year-old picking tomatoes that he planted is a pretty special thing to be part of. And lesson three, the process is just amazing. You know, you plant this tiny little seed or this fragile seedling into the dirt, you add a bit of water, and eventually it produces food that you can eat. It's amazing. Our experience is a little bit like the stories that Jesus told in this morning's Bible reading, and those, of course, are stories which carry a far deeper meaning. We're spending this term in Mark's Gospel. We're unpacking Jesus' identity, his mission, and what it means for us today. It's not too late if you want to grab a booklet from the back table and follow along the reading plan each week. And for those who have been doing that, I hope you've found it helpful getting into Mark's Gospel each day. We've seen over the last couple of weeks that Jesus has come to preach. He's come to speak God's word, to call people into God's kingdom. And here Jesus tells three stories which show us what to expect when God's word is spoken. These stories, especially the first one about the different types of soils. If you've been in church for a while, it will probably be a familiar one for you. But if you're here this morning and you're quite new to church or you're checking out what church and Christianity is all about, you might be hearing it for the first time. We're going to look at what to expect when God's word is spoken. What to expect when God's word is spoken, or when God's word is sown, to use the metaphor that Jesus uses here. And then, of course, what it means for us today. So firstly, what to expect when God's word is sown. And the first thing to expect is mixed responses. If you were here last week, we looked at chapter 3, and we saw different responses that people were having to Jesus. We met the hostile opposers, we met the well-meaning opposers, the fans, and then finally the committed followers of Jesus. And chapter 4 then begins with Jesus preaching from a boat out on a lake while the crowd stands on the shore listening to him. And we read, he teaches them many things by parables. Now, a parable is, it can be anything from a long story to a short illustration that communicates a bigger point. It takes something that's familiar, it takes something that people understand, and it uses it to explain something that's unfamiliar, something that people wouldn't normally understand. And one of these parables that Jesus tells is about a farmer who is sowing seed. Now, some of this seed, we're told, gets thrown onto the path and gets eaten up right away by the birds. Some of it goes onto rocky soil. It doesn't take root and it gets scorched and withered by the sun. Some of it gets choked up by thorns before it can properly grow. But then some of the seed falls onto good soil and it grows and it multiplies dramatically. So what does it mean? What does it mean? Well, Jesus tells us a few verses later. The seed represents God's word being proclaimed. the soil represents people's hearts, the hearts of the people who hear the word, and the growth or the lack thereof is how people respond to the word. So the seed along the path, that's the person who hears the word, but it has no effect on them. And it's interesting, isn't it, that there's an unseen spiritual element to this rejection, Jesus tells us in verse 15. It's Satan who comes along and takes the word from them. The seed in the rocky soil. That's the person who hears the word, responds positively, but there's no depth. There's no root. Hard times come and they fall away. The seed among the thorns. That's people who hear the word, but it gets choked out by life's worries and wealth and distractions. To the person who comes along to church once a year, once a month, maybe even once a week, but their heart is in this world, and the word bears no real fruit for God's kingdom in their life. But then the good soil is those who hear the word and they accept it as good and true and life-changing. Now, people are complex, aren't we? We don't always, it's like a Myers-Briggs test kind of thing. People don't always just naturally fit into neat boxes. But it's an insightful illustration, isn't it? I can think clearly of real people in my life who reflect each of these four types of soil. And perhaps you can as well. We should expect mixed responses, mixed results to God's word, because some people will have receptive hearts and some people won't. Verses 10 to 12, when the disciples and others ask Jesus about the parables, he tells them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing, but never perceiving, ever hearing, but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." So, are the parables then like a secret code designed to keep people from believing? It seems a bit cruel, doesn't it? Actually, it's not so much that the parables create insiders and outsiders, more that they reveal insiders and outsiders. Jesus was quoting here from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. 700 years earlier, Isaiah had been told by God to preach a message about God that most people were going to reject. And by rejecting it, they were going to bring God's judgment on themselves. Now, the problem wasn't with the message that Isaiah preached. The problem was with the people who wouldn't listen. And it's the same in Jesus' day. Everyone standing next to that lake heard the same parable. But only a few bothered to come up to Jesus afterwards and ask him what it meant. And it's those people, Jesus says, who have received the secret of God's kingdom. So parables are a bit like a spiritual metal detector in some ways, revealing whether a person's heart is receptive to the message of God's kingdom. To the receptive heart, they illuminate God's truth, but to the hardened heart, they're just nonsense. And how people respond to parables then is a reflection of how people respond to all of God's word. The person with the receptive heart will respond with understanding, belief, and growth. But to everyone else, the message won't take root. It won't bring change. My brother and I, we grew up in the same family. Went to the same churches, heard the same message week after week. by age 20, I'd chosen to follow Jesus and he'd chosen not to. Same word, different hearts, different responses. So there's a balance here, isn't there, between realism and expectation. When God's word is sown, we should expect mixed responses. Lots of the seed that gets sown goes to waste. Many people will reject the message. But among those who respond positively, we can expect astonishing growth. The seed that lands in the good soil, it grows, it produces a crop, and it multiplies. And so there's growth on two levels here, isn't there? There's the spiritual growth of the individual person who believes, a bit like a plant sort of growing to maturity. There's also numerical growth as well. The seed multiplies 30, 60, 100 times. More and more people hearing and believing. The two short parables that Jesus tells next are all about this astonishing growth of God's kingdom. What happens when the seed lands in the good soil? So Jesus has explained the different soil types, the different responses. Now he's really zeroing in on what happens when the seed hits the good soil, when the word falls on receptive hearts. Verse 26, this is what God's kingdom is like, Jesus says. A man scatters seed, the seed sprouts and grows, the soil produces grain, which eventually is ripe for the harvest. There's a couple of things that this highlights. Firstly, kingdom growth takes time. It takes time for the message to take root in someone's heart and bear fruit. It takes time for more and more people to hear and believe. Night and day. And secondly, the power for growth comes from the message itself, not the person who speaks the message. The man who scatters the seed, he's got no idea how the plant grows. He just goes off, does his own thing, sleeps at night, and the plant grows. And likewise, we don't know how, but God's word will produce extraordinary growth in the lives of those who hear it and believe, and as more and more people come to know Jesus, which is a great comfort that it's not up to us to make people believe. It's not all up to us. The next little parable in verse 30 there makes a pretty similar point. What's the kingdom of God like? Well, Jesus tells us it's like this tiny mustard seed, the smallest seed you can imagine, which grows into the largest of garden plants. From something seemingly insignificant, something enormous will grow. It's extraordinary. I don't know if you've ever thought of that as you've opened up a packet of seeds and thought, how can this tiny, tiny little seed have the potential for such growth? That's what it's like with the Word of God. The gospel message can at times seem small, insignificant. It's a message in many ways that's grounded in weakness. It's God in Jesus making himself one of us, dying for us, taking our brokenness and our guilt and our sin on himself on the cross before being raised back to life. It's a message that at some level cuts against the grain of every human culture that it's preached to. There are so many reasons that people would reject it. And yet it's a message that has produced astonishing growth and will continue to produce astonishing growth. From just a few followers of Jesus to all the people in the world today who know and love Jesus, to that final day when the rich harvest of God's people will be gathered together forever. There'll be mixed responses, mixed results when people hear God's word. But God's kingdom will grow in astonishing ways as his word is proclaimed and as more and more people hear and believe. So what does all of this mean for us? Well, there are two key applications that I want us to take away from here. One that's explicit right throughout the passage, and one that's more implicit, but it's clear in the context of Mark's gospel and the Bible as a whole. The first application, the explicit one, is to listen carefully. To listen carefully. Notice there, it's all through the passage. Verse 3, before he begins to tell the parable, Jesus tells the crowd, listen. Verse 9, as he finishes the parable, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. Verse 21, Jesus is talking to the people who asked him to explain the parable, and he says to them, do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed. Whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. So he's saying God's word and all its implications, it's not meant to be hidden. It isn't meant to be concealed, ignored, or misunderstood because of our hard-heartedness. It's meant to be disclosed, brought out into the open, heard, understood, believed, responded to. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear, he urges them again in verse 23. Listen to God's word. Don't ignore it. Verses 24 and 25 then show us how serious this is. Consider carefully what you hear, Jesus says. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. In other words, listen carefully. You'll be held to account for how you respond to what you've heard. Those who listen well will receive everlasting blessings. And those who don't will face the ultimate loss of eternity without Jesus. And I wonder, as you reflect on that parable of the sower, what type of soil do you think you are? What type of soil are you? Maybe that's an easy question for you to answer. Maybe one you need to think about a little bit. Perhaps you'd identify with the seed sown on the path. You've heard a bit or maybe a lot about Jesus. But you've never really taken it to heart. Maybe you relate to the rocky soil. You once had a faith, but not anymore. Or the thorny ground. It's not that you've rejected God's word deliberately, but it just has little to no impact on your life. There are more important things. If any of those sound like you, please do listen carefully to Jesus here. You ever get that when you're talking to someone and you can just tell they're not listening? You know, you're talking to them and you can just see it in their face or their body language that they know exactly what they want to say. They've worked out what they want to say and they're just kind of, they're hovering. You can tell they're kind of edging for you to just pause for a split second so they can jump in there and say what they want to say. Or maybe they've got the wandering eyes. They're kind of sort of nodding along, but they're kind of looking around for someone more interesting to talk to, and they're just kind of rehearsing the exit line in their mind. They're just waiting for a kind of a smooth segue to be able to just exit the conversation. And you could say anything to them. You could confess to a crime. You could tell them what the winning lotto numbers are going to be this coming weekend, and they wouldn't hear you. We all know what that feels like, don't we? Obviously, none of us would ever do that to someone, but we know what it feels like to have that happen. We can't afford to do that to Jesus. We can't afford to do that to Jesus. We need to listen to him while there's time. For those who identify with the good soil, the application here is also to listen carefully. See, we don't just grow from hearing God's word once. We grow by living in it. Jesus, he doesn't just tell the fans in the crowd to listen. He says it to the smaller group who follow him up afterwards. We grow by letting God's word challenge us and change us where we need it. The gospel message of Jesus' death and resurrection, it's not just a ticket into heaven for us. It's the powerful message that God uses to grow us and shape us and make us fruitful for his kingdom. The whole Christian life is motivated and empowered by the gospel through the Holy Spirit working in us. And so listen carefully. Then the second application here is to sow widely. To tell people to sow as much seed into as many soils as we can. To tell people about Jesus and the kingdom that he calls us into. God's kingdom it's about multiplication. We don't just aim for heaven ourselves. We want to see others get there as well. The Christian life is a multiplying one. It's hard though, isn't it? It's just, don't want to have a sermon where you get to the end and you just get told, go and tell people about Jesus and that's it. Because it's hard. There's the fear of rejection. Of course they won't believe this. Why would I tell people? I'm not an expert in first century AD Palestinian farming practices, but apparently part of this parable was that seed would get sown before the soil was ploughed. And so you kind of read a parable like this and think, well, the farmer's a bit of an idiot. Why doesn't he just sow it on the good soil? Why does he throw it on the path and the rocky soil as well? And it was because you wouldn't really know what type of soil you were sowing it on until the ploughing process and the growing process had taken place. There's a guy at my gym who I've been chatting to wherever I can the last few weeks. He knows I'm a Christian. He knows that I work at a church, and I'm just waiting to find that in to talk about Jesus and to ask him what he thinks. And when I find that moment, how's he going to respond? How's he going to respond to it? The truth is, I don't know. What I do know, though, is what happened to Ollie. Ollie was a guy that I met. He visited a church that I used to be part of years and years ago. He came along one evening, and we both would have been early 20s at the time. And I've never seen someone look less excited to be at church. Few of us came up, had a chat to him, tried to get to know him, just got absolutely nothing back from him. And it just was clear that he didn't want to be there. And so I was as friendly as I could. I said, goodbye, see you later, when he left. And in my head, I'm thinking, I'm never going to see this guy again in my life. And sure enough, the weeks went on and he didn't come back to church. But then a year or so later, I met a very different Ollie. He'd gone away, but he'd become a Christian in quite unlikely circumstances. And now he was not just growing in his own faith. He was going around and sharing about Jesus with everyone who he met. And now he's one of my best friends and possibly the most mission-hearted person who I know. Ollie had actually grown up in a Christian family. He'd grown up hearing God's word. But he was clearly a special type of soil where the seed just took ages and ages and ages to take root, but then grew in incredible ways. And it's an encouragement for all of us here to never give up on anyone. Many of us I know have got loved ones who we've been praying for years and years that they would respond to God's word. It's hard, not just the fear of rejection, but knowing where to begin. How do I even get the conversation started about Jesus? I don't profess to have this completely nailed down in my own life, but the most helpful advice I've come across is from this book. It's called How to Talk About Jesus by a guy called Sam Chan. Well worth a read. It's got lots of ideas. Definitely recommend having a read, but I'll try and boil it down to three quick takeaways. So number one is investing relationally in people. Sometimes we might have those opportunities that just come out of the blue, the person that sits next to us at the bus stop and asks a question or that sort of thing. But more often than not, it's going to be hours, months, years of time that goes into it. Getting to know people, being there for them, showing them that you care about them, letting them observe how Jesus shapes your life. Then number two, I've called this nudge and listen. So asking questions that kind of nudge people away from the normal topics of conversation, you know, the weather, how the crows are going, all those kinds of things, into the zone of values, beliefs. Maybe asking them, have you ever gone to church? Do you believe in God? And then making sure that we listen carefully, not just so they feel heard and loved and listened to, though that's very important, but so that we understand, so that we understand where they're coming from. And then number three is to tell a better story. As we love people, as we listen to them, we earn the right for them to listen to us, which gives us the opportunity to show them what a wonderful story it is that Jesus calls us into. That might be by sharing the gospel message with them. It might be sharing our own faith story with them. It might be sharing a story about Jesus from one of the gospels that we think will resonate with where they're at. Telling such a good story that they want to believe that it's true. The sneaky fourth point that I'll add to that three-point outline is prayer. Praying for opportunities to share about Jesus. Praying for the boldness and the right words that we need in the moment to be able to plant that seed, to speak God's word into someone's life, and for God to graciously bring the growth. And with that in mind, let's pray now. Our loving God, we thank you for how you've revealed to us your kingdom and your goodness, and for how you've done that in your word and in your son, Jesus, the saving message of his life and his death and his resurrection. We read in this passage that we should expect people to respond differently to your word, but also that your word will bring astonishing growth. We thank you for all the ways that that's happened throughout the history of your church and in our own lives and around us today. And we ask that we as your church and your people would be people who proclaim Jesus boldly, expectantly, and prayerfully. And we ask that your kingdom would grow in astonishing ways in Modbury and beyond and to the ends of the earth.